Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a Wednesday Sip and Discuss episode. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello.
We are back on YouTube, but we've actually had episodes dropping into the podcast feed for the last 10 days that we've been off. We had three author spotlights drop in all the chaos. So that was a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I want to apologize for missing last Wednesday's episode and having to cancel it. Jenny and I are going to do a quick shot of romance on the book and talk about it, and it'll be over on Patreon, and it will be available to all of our Patreon subscribers, including our free tier, to make up that I had to reschedule.
Stuff happens.
Yeah. Stuff does happen. Well,
Life happens.
You guys missed the best part of all of that. After I get off the episode, I think I told Jenny this. After I get off the episode, I go downstairs, stay with my mom, decide we're taking her to the emergency room. She fell and came home at 7 o'clock. It was almost 10 before I took her to the hospital.
Oh.
She made herself dinner and had a couple glasses of wine before she told anybody that she fell.
Well, yeah, because she knew if she went to the hospital, they weren't going to let her have anything.
Oh, my God.
So, never worry. She made sure to cover her bases.
Maybe she needed the two glasses of wine to tolerate the hospital experience.
Maybe. Fair. But, you know, I was just like, okay, way to keep it real, Lynn. There we go. Okay, so we're back, and we are starting our September episodes, which we pretty much decided the theme was close proximity.
Yeah,
I for think these. It was a bunch of books we really wanted to read.
Yeah, we just tried to figure out how to make them all fit.
How to make them all work. I think every episode is a new to us author. For most of them. Like, I've read Ashley Muniz, but I just found her this year.
Yeah, I don't think I've... They were all new to me, I think.
I read Ashley Muniz like a year ago or two. Like, there was that book everybody was hating on, and I was like, well, I'm going to read it because, like, usually I'll like it. And I was like, I need to find out why everybody really hates it. Is it really, like, up to snuff or not? And I liked it. I liked her.
Yeah, I've read the first two books in this motorcycle club that we have coming up, and I think the book we're reading is the fourth book.
I think it's book four.
I think it's the end of the series, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's coming up. But this week, this was one of my highly 2024 anticipated reads. I heard about this book last August, September, because it was originally going to be indie published. And as it was starting to make the ARC review rounds, Berkeley quickly bought it up. And so... this was my, like, I was super, super excited to read this book.
So. I was too. You actually sent us the ARC so long ago that I, like, bought the audio to reread it.
Yeah.
Because I forgot how it ended because it has been, I think, didn't you send us the ARC back in, like, March?
It was a long time ago, yeah.
It's been a minute.
A long time ago. Like, I knew I liked it.
Because they pushed the date out because it released in the UK first.
Right.
And so I read it thinking it was going to release then. And then I had to like go back and look. So, yeah.
Oh, I forgot to pull it down. But Danielle, special shout out to Danielle because she's one of our UK listeners. And she lovingly sent me the UK book with the UK cover and the sprayed edges. And I don't know if you can see it between the deer and the blue stripe, but the sprayed edges look like the racetrack.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's so pretty.
I have one on the way.
Oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Did you buy from Waterstone?
No, I joined like a buy sell trade group on Facebook specifically looking for this one because it was sold out and it's expensive to ship from the UK. So I think it was like $35.
There we go.
Including So I'm happy.
It's a beautiful book. I am sitting with my sprayed edges out. I am now that person.
I feel like you should have pulled it down to show like the little, there's so many cute little details in it. I had
there
to
is.
Have
I
it.
Feel bad and I would stand up, but I'm wearing shorts and I'm afraid you guys would see more than you really wanted to see a Becky tonight. Like,
honestly, the book is so cute. It might be worth it.
yeah. It's not. It's not, honest. My cellulite should stay under the desk.
It's got, so like the thing that I thought was so cute is like on the interior cover, it's got, so it's the after, you got the Afterlane edition, right? With the sprayed edges where it's the racetrack.
No, this was just the UK in the bookstore edition.
Oh,
paperback, right?
Paperback, yeah.
Okay. No, I got the Afterlight edition that has like the cute little, it's got like the cute little Instagram posts on them.
Yeah.
About, anyway, I'm such a sucker. I don't always buy books, but when I do, I like want the really, really nice ones.
Lindsay has expensive taste.
Lindsay does have expensive taste. We did.
But I don't have a lot of books, so it's okay.
It is okay.
Yeah, I can't say that.
I really can't say that either. We had to do some house stuff and we took books off the shelf and they're piled everywhere. And I'm like, there's a lot of books here. Anyway, so like I said, tonight we're talking about Cross the Line by Simone Sultani. So stick with us while we break down the enchanting details. Who wants to know? Who wants to list all the things? Who's going?
I'll do it. Brother's Best Friend, my favorite.
Okay, wait, what's the release date?
The release date is July 23rd, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So the tropes are Brother's Best Friend. I love that one. Childhood friends, close proximity, racing romance. He's a F1 racer, and slow burn. It is a real slow burn.
And then some.
I knew as I was reading this. I was like, yeah. Becky's got to be ticked.
We'll get to it. Okay, what's next? What's next, Lindsay?
So the series name, it's the Lights Out series. This is a standalone debut. The point of view is dual first person. The put out percentage is 71%. It is a long, thick book. Third act breakup, no audio narrators. If you did the audio book, I did that, and I read it eyeballs. So it's Vickis Adam and Narissa Bradley. The audio was really good. And then content warning, the heroine has a chronic illness. Where is it available? Everywhere. It's published via Berkeley.
Okay, so I want to talk about the audiobook before we get into the meat of this book. I also did the audiobook. I borrowed it from my library. Shout out to my library. Okay. I loved the female narrator. Narissa Bradley, she did a great job because our heroine is biracial. Vickis Adams, who did, what's his name? Dev, right?
Dev? Yes, Dev.
He was not so great. Because to be honest, to hear the two of them pronounce his name, it's Dav. Like not... D-E-V, D-A-V is how, like, I had to go in and physically look at my book to make sure the name wasn't Dave.
Yeah. I listened to it at one point. I listened to it sped up, so it didn't. He talked very slow. I never listened to audiobooks sped up. And this one I listened to, I think, at like 1.5, and it was very comfortable.
Yeah, I think I was 1.65. It was the
cadence. This is the only audiobook I've ever listened to sped up.
The cadence was just really slow.
That's how slow it was. I am very much like, I need them to talk slow so I understand what's happening. I get very mad when they sound like they're speaking like alien language, because how do people understand when it's like that blurred together? No, like 1.5 is normal pace.
Yeah. For this book, for sure.
For this book.
Okay, so I will tell you, book two in this series is due out next May, and it's called Ride With Me.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Do we know who this book is?
Stella Baldwin thought her life couldn't get worse. Being left at the altar was bad enough, and the drunken rant she posted on her social media followers in the aftermath was the cherry on top. Thomas Maxwell Brown is who is her hero. Thomas.
Another racer.
Another right? racer. Yeah, I think he was on
the... And she's one of the roommates.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. So it looks like it's going to be her friend group, you would say, right? What's her name? Oh, my God. I forgot her name.
Willow.
Willow's
yes.
friend group, probably.
Which, yeah.
Weird if they...
Because she has, like, two roommates, so it's probably those two to start with, and then...
She has one roommate, and then her other friend is, like, in Hong Kong.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I thought they were two roommates, and the room one of the roommates went to Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's what Jenny just said. Yeah. Okay. Chronic illness rep. How did we feel about this? Do we think it was well done? Did it make sense? I sometimes think she forgot about that the character was supposed to have a chronic illness. It felt like it was convenient sometimes.
Well, as a person that, like, has a hypermobility, I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is in that, like, spectrum of disorders. I would say it's pretty well done because it's not something that, like, you see all the time. Like, other people aren't going to be aware of it. But it does affect, like... your shoe choices, or like she takes like a lot of inflammatory like medication and stuff like that. I thought it was fairly well done because it wasn't like front and center all the time. It's not always
well, and that's kind of what I mean. It felt convenient sometimes, like it would brought in because she didn't know what else to do at that point in the story.
Okay. Yeah,
like it was like, oh wait, I kind of wrote myself into a corner. How am I going to get out of this corner? Oh, it could be a health issue.
And I definitely thought that, like, Willow would be more fatigued than she is, like, throughout. Well,
she's also 22, I think.
Yeah. Well, and traveling through the time zones. There wasn't a lot of focus on jet lag. I mean, I'm not really a time zone traveler. You know,
I think it just becomes a number then, like you're not, you have no concept of time. It's just
you sleep and wake up.
Right. Yeah. It's like a made up thing to know when to meet people.
Okay. So, Amanda, what were your thoughts on Willow as a character? Let's talk about her first, and then we can talk about Dev, Dave, whatever you want to call him.
I liked her. I don't know. I really liked both of them, like character, you know, just kind of like being at that age in their life. And, you know, she's trying to figure out what she wants to do. And, you know, it seemed kind of like on point for being, you know, out of school, looking for a job. You know, I liked her relationship with her friends. I liked her relationship with her family. Like I didn't have any real hangups about her. I liked her overall.
And you read a lot of plus size romances. She's not plus size. She's curvy, right? Wouldn't you say? Like, she's probably a size 12, 14?
Yeah, she didn't read, like, plus size.
Well, early on, they talk about, like, her thighs and her thick butt.
Yeah.
And then it's never really kind of brought up again.
Yeah, and she's, like, flat-chested.
Yeah.
But also she's like Lindsay said, she's 22. Like you can get away with a lot more with a 22-year-old body than.
And yeah. And it's an illustrated cover, and I know it's not going to be exact, but do you feel that the cover projects her body as a character?
I don't know. I'm Googling it.
I was like, I have to think. Like,
her legs look very. You know, just like, no, they're, I wouldn't describe those as thick legs.
No.
Got a thigh gap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I love the cover though. I mean, it's a Lenny cover, so I do love it, but
I have it and I will keep buying it. Like, I'm in. but it was just something I thought about. You know, as you're listening to the audiobook, you kind of start to visualize these things and you look at the cover and then you're like,
fit. Yeah, no, I get that. But like you said, though, they kind of bring it up a little bit in the beginning, and then I don't really remember them talking about it too much after. But again, like, I read this book, it was a little while ago, so I had to go back and kind of refresh it. So I didn't do a complete reread.
That's okay. Jenny, what are your thoughts on Willow?
I think she's age appropriate. Like, she's definitely got some of that, like, young, naive, like, not sure how the world works. I mean, she's had some issues in the past with, like, her brother's friend group and dating people in there, but it doesn't seem like she's, like, fully let herself live yet.
Yeah. So
she's kind of trying to find her footing.
Yeah. Lindsay, what are your thoughts on Miss Willow?
I liked Willow. So she's a college grad. She's, like, freshly graduated when this book happens. She has gone to school for sports marketing. She wants to join the world of sports. She is a sports fanatic. She has not been able to play sports because of her hypermobility. So she's just, like, crazy about sports. And she's in a situation where she's looking for a job when her brother invites her to Monaco,
I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so I really thought, like, how they portrayed her in the beginning and then, like, how she just kind of immerses herself in the Formula One world. Like, she finds a mission. She's, like, very driven, highly motivated. And then, like, she's in a situation where I think part of the slow burn came into play because she's, like, putting her career and the idea of helping him ahead of her feelings, which, given her background with her brother's friend, makes sense. So I thought Willow was really well written. I don't think every 22-year-old is like Willow. But I would also say, like, she comes from a very privileged background, and I do think that is included in her storyline frequently. Like, she acknowledges, like, she doesn't have student loan debt. Like, she's in a very unique situation. Like, her parents, like, have her back because they're very wealthy. They're very well off. Like, her brother was in Formula, like, he was in the kart racing up until he decided not to pursue professional sports. So, like, she's got a very privileged background, and I think you do see that in her perspective quite a lot.
Yeah. I didn't mind Willow. I thought that, like, I think she's very straightforward for the most part. Like, I think she confronts things head on unless it's her brother.
Yeah.
Because there was that secretness, this dance of we can't tell him. I need him to think I'm serious. And I liked her straightforwardness. And in dealing with the people of the race world, I think she did a great job, especially being young. And a woman of color, I feel like she's portrayed really strongly in that situation as someone with forward momentum. Her character arc, I don't know that she grew as a character. I think she helped Dev grow as a character.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that she kind of, without having to help him move and find his footing to his maturity and realizing that he can go to a different team and be better than he's currently being treated, I feel like she's written in a way that builds him up, and we don't get this huge character growth for her.
I think that's fair.
So let's talk about Dev, because in this book, he has the most character growth between the two of them. But I don't, like, in the beginning, he comes off as a fuckboy and a playboy. Like, I mean, he's very selfish, very self-centered. But I think to be a top elite athlete, Lindsay, don't you think we need that to see that?
Okay, we have to talk about how we meet him. He's at a party, and the first thing we learn about him is that everyone at this party thinks he has an STD because of the prank
Yeah.
his social media manager played on him on the way out of Australia, where he abandons her after firing her in Australia. Like, he abandons her on this continent, like a totally different continent, and cancels her flight. So he deserved that a little bit. But yeah, I don't think like his bad boy image made a lot of sense with the way that he was written. I don't think, I mean, they allude to a lot of him like being very promiscuous, being with like all these girls, and then like you find out more about him and he's in the middle, like beyond his PR nightmare from his former social media manager, like he's actually got nothing under control. Like, his racing team is sabotaging him, preventing him from being able to like achieve his potential in his field of choice. That's very frustrating. Like, there's a lot of things where there's just not really anybody on his side until he hires Willow.
Yeah.
And I think like the way he's written, the character development does make sense. But you don't get a lot of like depth with him either. You just get kind of like a stereotypical F1 book hero, which we talked about in our last
Yeah.
like hour long.
Amanda, what are your thoughts on Dev?
I didn't mind him. I do feel like the whole Playboy image was a little like out of character because he's obviously had feelings for Willow for a little while and then he's like completely obsessed with her. So it's a little, that was a little out of character for me, but I didn't mind him. I do think you have to have a level of, you know, ego to play or participate in a professional sport like that. So that's never, like that never bothers me really with
No.
a professional like
The
sports
ego,
person.
it doesn't bother me. I just felt like we had
Yeah.
it really strong in the beginning.
Yeah, and then it backs off.
And then where'd it go? And this is what I'm saying. Like, so this book was really fluff. And I think that this is where it comes into this is a debut. Because he reads very basic. But had she leaned into the Playboy for show aspect that we see a lot in romances, but then we saw the soft, squishy golden retriever underneath with that mutual pining, which, Jenny, you're a huge fan of mutual pining.
Well, as you're talking, I'm like, he's like a Sour Patch
He is, but don't you think if she had kind of blown that up and
kid.
exploded that
Yes.
like a extra large Sour Patch Kid, that we would have it would have added some character depth for him.
I like, did you read the epilogue?
Yes, because I had the audiobook. I always listen to the end of
Okay.
audiobooks.
Okay, so I would have liked seeing the epilogue like in the story.
Well, it's the only time there's a crash.
Yeah. I think that could have been used like
Earlier
to
on,
propel both of them. Like, yeah.
I thought the prologue had a crash.
no, he kind of spins out a little bit in his race, but he doesn't crash,
Oh,
I don't think.
yeah, because he like he has to total the car, but that was
Yeah.
like because he was like concerned about what Oakley would think.
The points and stuff, that kind of thing. So what are your thoughts on the brother in this book? Because one of the things that we often agree on with brother's best friend is sometimes the overprotective brother stuff is too overprotective.
I mean, he wasn't there. Like, I don't know.
And I think he had a right to blow up in the end. When you say, I mean, like in the end, when he has his big moment, they've been keeping it a secret.
Yeah, I mean, and I was pleasantly surprised that he was mad at them more for the secret part than he was about them getting together. I mean, and she has a history with one of his friends. So, you know, I can understand why they didn't want to tell him, and I can also understand why he's very upset about it. And why he's, you know, kind of a little overbearing with her because, you know, she already had one of his friends kind of, I don't know, break her heart or, you know, put her in a bad situation, however you want to say it, but yeah, I didn't think he was too over the top.
So what about the storyline? Jenny, I'm going to give you this one. That Dev's supposed to be this amazing racer, but it's the team that's causing him not to excel. That it's the team holding him back. Do you feel that added to his character arc? Did it show that he was a fighter? Or did it feel just kind of tepid? Like, okay, whatever.
Well, I think it's very realistic for a racing situation. As I divulged in the racing episode, like, I was a huge race car fan for quite a while. And, like, what engine you're running, what car you're running, like, that is very important to how you perform. I don't think it would happen quite the way it did for him. And, like, the moment where he, like, gets called in just because he's, like, ahead of the Nathaniel.
Yeah, the son, whatever. the owner's son.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Like, yeah, I would have liked to see him push more.
Yeah. Lindsay, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, she's the one who motivated him to actually do anything about it. Like, Willow's the one who motivated him. He was kind of in a situation where he was like there's the scenes where he was working, like, talking to Reed, like, are you going to join my racing team? Like, let me know what's going on here. And Reed's like, no, I'm not going to take your spot. And then he's being sabotaged by the team, and he's more worried about, like, getting bumped from the team than actually doing anything about it. And she's the one who's like, let's figure this out. Like, yeah, this is not a good place for you to be. And I don't know. I just think, like, as an F1 racer, I feel like the adrenaline alone would have him throwing wrenches in the cockpit after, like, being told to back down. Like, as an F1 racer in the middle of the race, like, when somebody's not telling you a reason for your car being broken and telling you to, like, literally scratch yourself from finishing a race, like, wouldn't you push back, like, more aggressively? Like, wouldn't you be like, no, until you tell me what's going on, I'm not coming into the pits? Like, yeah. I felt like there were some situations there where his behavior didn't really make sense for the kind of
level of racer.
There were a lot of things that he did that were at odds with his competitive nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Lindsay said, like, race car drivers, they throw hissy fits. Like, they aren't just going to, like, pull in the pits and get out of the car. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, he would be so livid in that scene. He would have been, like, in the cockpit throwing wrenches, like, especially after his top engineer comes and says nothing was wrong with the car. Like, he would have been so hopped up on adrenaline, he would have gone nuts. Like, that's just the reality of that job. And he was, like, so calm. Like, he was in the line at Starbucks waiting for his coffee, and it was an inconvenient wait. I don't know. But then I will say, like, you did see that competitive nature when he got his first win, where he had that, like, very aggressive approach. He was like, put the slick tires on, I'm going. I don't care if it's wet, I don't care if I spin out, like, let's go. He was like, I have nothing to lose, I want to win, like, this is my shot. And then he did, and it paid out. And, like, that's when you start to see him taking more risks for himself. But, like, he's just not, like, considering how competitive he is allegedly, like, there just wasn't a lot of motivation early on in the book until, like, Willow comes along and is like, don't you want to win? Like, why aren't you doing anything about this?
So one of the things that, and I think this is a debut issue, and this is something I know, Amanda, it doesn't usually bug you too much. These pages felt crowded with a lot of characters mentioned that didn't really hold a lot of significance to the story. And they would just randomly appear out of nowhere. And it was jarring at times. And it felt a little like that S.L. Scott book we read where, like, all of a sudden we're in the living room, but we were in the car a paragraph ago.
Oh, so funny story is I read those back to back.
Oh.
I read this one and then I read the other one. So when we did, like, the sip and discuss for the other one, I was like, I can't talk about this one. And I was trying to remember which one, what happened in which one. But yeah, so But yeah, there were a lot of characters. I didn't, like you said, I don't typically really mind it, and it didn't bother me in this one so much. But there weren't, I didn't really feel like we went from, like Florida to,
Right.
California in a blink of an eye or anything.
No,
So
no.
I did like make a note that because I was like, who the heck is Shaba? Like, he just like, I'm like flipping back and I'm like, I like word wise his name. I'm like, nope.
just
He's
appeared.
suddenly there.
He's just there all of a sudden. So for this book, I felt like we had three books or three pacing departments. I feel like we got that first 25 where, and they made their kiss sound like it was this drunken kiss, but it wasn't. It was intentional for both of them, that first kiss. Then we had this middle part that was kind of trudgy, kind of slow. Like we say slow burn, but there wasn't even any tension. It just felt like we were figuring out how to move in each other's space. And then we hit that 70% part where they sleep together and he says he loves her. Like as soon as they're done sleeping together, he's like, I love you.
Like during.
But they weren't even really friends at that point or defined as friends. But then, like, I felt like the last 25% of the book was a whole nother story with, like, that was where the flirting and the tension and the pacing picked up for this book.
Yeah, it definitely like it moved and like everything happened in the last like 25%, I think.
Yeah.
Like all of the things happened in the last 25%.
Which is frustrating, but again, it's a debut. So
Yeah.
you have to hope that as Simone Soltani continues to write, that that pacing will pick up, that she'll learn to kind of pull out that ending stuff and sprinkle it more throughout the book.
So I read on her bio that this is her debut solo, but she was actually a ghostwriter for a serialized fiction platform.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means. What
Probably
does
a
that mean?
Wattpad serial.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I meant to ask you that before and I forgot.
That's okay.
I also think the pacing's probably a reflective of like if she got picked up after the book was written when the arc was making rounds, it probably didn't go through a second round of edits. She probably just did the indie edit process and then they were like, it's been getting such good reviews in the arc process, we'll buy it as is. We
Yeah.
don't have to do anything but market it. And that's probably another factor is like it probably did not get
It
the
probably
round
had,
edits that Trad Pub typically does.
it probably had an acquisitions editor read it. There might have been a sub editor that read it, made some, small tweaks, but nobody would have changed to the content because those original arcs were still floating out there. So you don't want
Yeah.
someone who read the first arc to pick it up and be like, well, this, and this all changed. You don't want to have that. So there's an editing cue that kind of has to hit. But now that you say that she was a serial writer on a
Yeah.
subscription type platform, the way that she wrote this book makes sense.
Okay.
Because if you read like a Wattpad story or a Kendall Vella story, lots of characters will be introduced because then you can have spin-off markets. If we look at like the auction that Audrey Carlin wrote, it's like actually a book of four or five different couples and their stories all mashed into one book because it came out of serial writing.
Okay,
Because you
that
write
makes
in
sense.
episodes. And so you want to leave it at a situation so it's kind of flatline, high peak of interest, so that and that's where you stop it is at the top of the peak, and then because you want to bring them back in to buy the next subscription,
That makes sense.
to pay the coins and buy the next story. And usually in those subscription books, the last 80% will have all the action because you got to wrap up everything
Yeah.
because you don't want to make more episodes. So that makes sense that that's how she, that would make sense of how the beats carry through her book.
Okay.
One of the things I will give her credit for though in this book, There were not plot holes.
I'm pretty sure that's why I really liked it.
There was no plot holes. There wasn't like any other than the, I mean, there were the random characters that showed up that I was like, oh, where did this guy come from? I think that's debut. But like we look at a book like Elsie Silver writes and she writes parents, but then they never show up or come to visit. Like they're so important in her life. They don't show up. We got those people. We got the important story pieces. Yes, Lindsay.
Like the random characters showing up. I didn't have a problem with that in this book. I did, however, think about it in a different way where it raised a problem for me with rock star romances because, like, you're in these environments where you're moving a whole production. There are so many people involved in these productions where you're literally moving your whole workspace country to country around the world every week or so. And I was like, I thought, like, from that perspective, like, you see, like, the characters and who they're interacting with, but, like, in rockstar romances, so often they're only associating with their manager or like their PR person. And it was like, there's all these other people behind the scenes. They just don't talk to anybody. So like for me, like I didn't actually have a problem here, but it raised like an interesting perspective for me because like, I think this is a similar kind of genre to rockstar when they're in season moving around.
Yeah.
But they don't ever bring in that many characters in rockstar romances. Like, I can't think of a single one where they introduce you to anybody, like, beyond the band and the people the band has immediate relationships with. So, like, very main characters to the series. Right. So, for me, we'll see how it goes down the line here. It could be, like, a Wattpad thing. But it also, I kind of thought it was realistic from the sense that, like, there's 10,000 people in these pits at any given time. Like, they bring a whole... They've probably got like a solid 30 people just for the pit crew.
Yeah.
And the engineering team and mechanics, the people in the booth.
And testing and strategists.
So there's like a lot wearing the ugly uniform.
Anyway, so like I thought about it very differently.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And I have always said before that I think sports romance are the palatable rock star romances because it's kind of the same microscopic view of a world under the microscope of a spotlight and how they move within the world. I just don't think people like rock star romances and they're dumb for not liking them because I love them. Okay, so let's do our do you want to have anything else they wanted to say about this book before we go to our next part?
I really like the wedding scenes and like his mom meddling. Like I really like that part. So
I thought his mom was great. We don't have to talk about
it, but I just want to say I like it.
No, you can talk about it. It's fine.
I just thought it was a lot of fun.
I liked the parents. I thought the parents were really great. Her dad was really great.
Yeah, her dad was super cute.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to do our thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll start with Lindsay. Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up, and my favorite part of this whole thing is that Jenny termed him a Sour Patch Kid hero. Like, that is my new favorite thing.
It's your new thing? Okay. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'll say thumbs up because I really like them both as characters. Like, I felt like it was a little slow in the middle or whatever, but there was a lot going on in the end, enough so that I'm interested in reading the next book. So yeah. I'll say thumbs up.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up. I would say it's an easy read and it was easy to like pick up and put down without having to like remember where I was, if that makes sense.
I think for a debut, it's good. It's solidly written, no plot holes. I'll give it a thumbs up. Did it meet the mark of my anticipated read? No, it was kind of a letdown. I had kind of higher expectations for it. But if I look at it through the lens of this is a debut, I will read this author again. And I think there's some potential for some great stories. So there is that. Okay. So if you liked Cross the Line, what other books do you think people might also enjoy? Does anybody have any? I have a few.
I wrote a spicy note.
Okay, Lindsay, go first.
I wrote any of the books on the shelves at Target. Lindsay, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I know, but it's true.
I don't mean it in a great way either. And I say that because like there's a lot of books out there now that are getting shelf time in bookstores that like don't have the best plots or the best writing. They're just like hot from book talk. And I think this book will be very hot on book talk. And I think it is good. I think it is worth a read. But honestly, like, if this is something you just really loved, like, honestly, go to Target and buy a bunch of books. Like, you'll have a grand old time.
Okay, so I have If You Want Me by Helena Hunting. It deals kind of a little bit with the secret relationship, the mutual pining. It is the book two in her Toronto Terror series. It is Dad's Best Friend, age gap romance. But it's, there isn't a power dynamic. So if power dynamic often bothers you, this book does not have the power dynamic. They're pretty equal in footing. Light 'Em Up by Kelly Jameson. Again, kind of secret relationship, sports. It was her offering to the Bang Brothers series. If It's Only Love by Lexi Ryan. Again, secret relationship. Brother's Best Friend. Make Me Hate You by Candy Steiner. This one is angsty. It might not be for you. He's technically on the cusp of being engaged to somebody else and has an affair with his sister's best friend. Everyone's shaking their head. It's actually a really great story. I really did enjoy it. But again, tension and angst. They're also young and stupid. Like, they're just graduated college, both of them. Trust by Jana Aston. Again, best friend's brother. When the Time is Right by M. Maybe and Ali Martinez. Secret relationship, mutual pining, but be prepared for the Kleenexes on that book if you haven't read it. If you haven't read it and you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, WTF. What the hell is wrong with you people? Like, Renna Morgan, Lexi Ryan, and this book by Mo Maybe and Ali Martinez. Like, seriously, I will push you down the stairs at this point. Like, you are voted off the island. Shark-infested waters.
That's the kind of aggression Dev needed.
What?
That's the kind of aggression Dev needed.
It is the kind of aggression Dev needed. Make Me Yours by Melanie Harlow is another one that would work. Have you not read that one yet? When the Time is Right, Jenny?
Read it.
Okay.
I haven't.
I'm afraid of people being pushed down the stairs.
Yeah. There was another one she threatened me with like not that long ago. So I'm in danger.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
I know. I've got to get off my
But you've read Renna Morgan, so you kind of are okay. Like, that's like having immunity or the power of veto. Okay. Like, you're slightly safe right now because you've read Renna.
Right. Yeah, and I read them all, and we did multiple episodes, and I've wrecked it a million times, so I feel like I should be safe.
Also, just FYI, just for Amanda, today I learned that until Bax has a release date,
I saw that Reynolds coming.
Lindsay has the best one-liners. That's from Stacy.
What?
Stacy, you should leave that in a review on the podcast app. Wherever you get your podcast, leave that. You do. If you liked this book, just go to Target. Like,
She's not wrong,
but it was a little salty.
I mean, there's so many options, and those books need a good home too.
They do.
And they do have pretty covers.
They do. That's unless true. It's dirty smudges that you spent 20 minutes trying to wipe and clean off with rubbing alcohol today. We're not talking about that though, right?
No.
Nope. We are not.
For those listening, we're talking about the new Elsie Silver cover, her orange book, Wild Eyes. It has black smudges at the bottom of it and dirt down the spine. And I honestly thought it was like printer ink that got on it. And so I was taking rubbing alcohol to get rid of it today.
So. When I found out that that was real
rubbing alcohol
and intentional, I was like, imagine the design conversation. Like, I want it to be monochrome bright, but like add smudges to it to make it like bright and rough.
I think it's a mistake. So I think the entire first print run is pre-printed And I think ink got on the covers and they had to leave it and make it. They might have had to do something to make it set as the covers were printed before they would have gotten the matte finish. I think it would have been too pricey to rerun those covers.
You think like on the first book too? Because it's on the first book too.
The black stuff is on the first book?
Yeah, it's not as dark, but like, so I went back and looked at a picture.
I didn't look at that.
Because when I got mine, I tried to wipe the first one off. And I was texting with somebody and somebody was like, because it came from Target in one of those like cardboard like fold over things. And I was like, oh no, it's got stuff all over it. And I went back and looked after we had this conversation earlier. And I have a text message with somebody else talking about the first one because it's on my first one.
I didn't notice
it's not
that.
As dark.
Because so my bot came, I ordered the Walmart special edition because it had the character art in it. And so I ordered two copies from Walmart. One was in case, like I have a set and then a set I'm collecting to sell. Because to be honest, the mountain spine for the first book is gone and out of stores. You cannot find it anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm collecting series to, you know, because I need to make cash. So I'll resell it at some point. But mine came in a Walmart box and the bottom of the Walmart box had like mud and gunk on it. And I really thought that the mess on it was like somehow gotten through the box from Walmart.
Yeah.
Anyway. And it just looks dirty. It doesn't look nice.
Yeah. Like I thought my first one was dirty. It's not as dark as the second one, but the first one is like my first one is looks the same. And I thought it was like from the box.
Nice. Jenny, did you pick up a copy at Walmart?
I have not picked up a copy yet, but yeah, I'm just kind of confused. Like, yes, please make this look like it came out of the kid's book bag.
Like, I don't know, because I haven't read it. So, I mean, is there like a scene where something gets like dirty or something?
I read the first book. No.
Okay.
My thought on the second book, I actually asked somebody I was talking to. I'm like, is he a mechanic? And she's like, well, no, he's a billionaire single dad.
The first book, there is the scene where they spill the paint in his office.
But it's not black.
They're doing it in his office and they spill the paint and it's not black. But they do leave it like stained on the floor permanently as like an inside joke between them anyway. I don't know. I haven't read this one yet. I did get a copy, but I will say I did not get any of these like special edition copies because I want my copies to freaking match. And like they put a review note on the front
that
published on the book, like special edition illustrations inside. And it's like, nope, I don't want that. I do not want that special printed note on my book. So I'm going to be really mad if my Amazon copy advertises the Walmart special edition note.
I didn't think about that.
I don't think it does. I think Walmart's the only one that has that
special edition. And that's the only way to get the character art was to get the Walmart edition.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't do it because I was like, I don't want to special edition order those, even though like, I think Walmart is the cheapest that it is anywhere.
They are.
But I didn't want that because I was like, now I have this one-off book. And I was like, I feel like I'd need two copies of this book, and I don't want two copies.
Don't make me go buy the Amazon copy now.
I just want to match the copy Becky sent me.
I was going to say, I know you have a pink copy.
That was a whole story in and of itself. Do you remember?
Yes, because you were on drugs from your surgery.
I was, and I thought you were talking about the illustrated covers for like Out of the Gate being sold out. So I ordered two of each of that whole series. And then I was like, oh, you meant this book. And I was like, I totally forgot that had a special edition. So you totally saved me there. Anyway,
we are off topic and on another road. Okay. Thank you everybody for hanging out for tonight's episode. Make sure you join us on Sunday where I will be joined by special guest, Carla. Carla is reading and she spends her entire life on social media that she does on social media doing nothing but building up Latinx romance authors. So she's coming on to hang out with me and we're going to talk to Natalie Kenya and Angelina M. Lopez and celebrate a little bit of Latin Heritage Month, but also all those amazing Latinx stories that are out there. And there are some great ones. Also, any chance to talk to Natalie Kenya? And I got an advance copy of Angelina M. Lopez's short stories that comes out next week.
Oh, did you? I pre-ordered it, but I haven't.
She has a collection of short stories. You guys, You guys, so good. So, and then we're back next Wednesday to discuss The Truth According to Ember by Danica Nava. I messaged her and asked for a voice memo on how to say it, so I say it right. It's Nava. Anyway, so I don't butcher everybody's name. anyway, thanks for hanging out, everybody. Until next time, happy reading, everyone.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.